And we are live here on the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Harrison Fagan. I will be hosting tonight as we take a break from the pretty monotonous offseason to try and figure out, we're taking a page out of, this was Jacob's idea originally, but we're taking a page out of Kevin Durant's playbook. And he recently named his best roster of all time. And since he put three Lakers on it anyway and is obviously coming to the Lakers, we're going to try and draft the best possible Lakers all-time team that we can. And so tonight I am joined by Gary Kester, who's kind of always here with me, you know, not that special, writes for Lakers Outsiders, and and special guest Jacob Rood, who's this was his original brainchild. So thanks for being here, Jacob, and thanks for the free idea for a show.
I'm excited to be here on a punless podcast tonight.
Yeah, well, harmless, but, I mean, we're going to all argue and want to kill each other by the end of it when our team doesn't win.
No, so there's going to be no puns and no Steve Novak.
Yeah, but guys, let's try and make it no – well, we already killed the Steve Novak one, but let's try and make it through this show with no puns. Shout out to Anthony. Okay, so the rules are pretty simple. We're going to be drafting an all-time Lakers starting five plus a coach. You can take your coach in any round. I'm going to wait for the first person to pick Phil Jackson first overall or something. That would be funny. But and then we are also, it's only their Lakers career. So it's like the Steve Nash rule. You can't draft Steve Nash and have him be son Steve Nash. It's like it's the Lakers version of Steve Nash, which let's forget I said anything about. So those rules are they're pretty clear, right, guys?
So you mean I don't get prime Gary Payton?
No, not just not only because your name is Gary, but also yeah, that would be cheating.
Gary's part of Gary Nation, man.
Yeah, you gotta save name Gary. Okay, so I think we did an online vote, and Gary, I think you had the results of that ready for us.
Yeah. So I led the way with two votes. Was not rigged. Was not rigged or anything. And then you both each had one vote. So good job, guys.
Does that one vote for Jacob hurt more, considering it was your dad that voted for him?
it kind of does, man. I feel like I should get third just for that. Like, that's just terrible.
I mean, really, you should.
Thanks a lot, Dad.
But since you didn't, let's go ahead and I think, so you're going to go first, and then I will go second because Lakers outsider seniority, and Jacob, you're going to go third as the guest because we don't treat our guests very well on this show.
You can either look at it as seniority, or that you just need more help than Jacob does.
It's true. I do.
I like Gary.
Chandler Parsons. So Jacob, since we're doing a snake draft, you will get the third and fourth pick. So I think we're ready to go, right, guys? So Gary, you are on the clock.
All right. I'm going to use up all my time to make this pick.
If you don't pick D'Angelo Russell, I think you're saying you think he's going to be a bust. So just be careful.
Oh, man. Get the fire emoji ready.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go with the guy I grew up watching, and that's Kobe Bryant.
All right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it was so anticlimactic, I know, but, you know, what can you say? I grew up watching him. I didn't get to grow up watching Magic, so I know Kobe a little bit better, and you know, it's not like it's a bad choice or anything.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody here is going to say that you reached, or anybody watching this podcast is going to say that Kobe with the first overall pick was a reach. Like, I don't think that we're going to get those, anybody saying you should have picked LeBron or something, at least for this podcast. considering it's just all-time Lakers.
But, I had a hard time passing on Robert Sacre, but had to do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you really didn't back up that article you wrote from a couple months ago, but I guess that means that I am on the clock now, so I am going to also use up a ton of time, as I'm known for doing on these things, and select Magic Johnson.
Oh, shocker.
Shocking first two picks.
Yeah, I mean, Magic, like, he was okay as a Laker, I guess. So, you know, I just, like, honestly, like, quite possibly the best point guard of all time. I don't think that this is really a controversial choice. We are not in the range where these picks are really ready to be, like, heavily, angrily argued yet. Like, I think it was pretty clear those were one and two, right, guys?
Yes.
I mean, the Lakers have so many great players. You could throw in a number of guys, and it wouldn't be, like, outlandish, you know? But, yeah, I mean, when you think of the greatest Lakers to ever play, you think Magic and Kobe first and foremost, so.
Yeah. I mean, Magic, I think, probably would have went one if you didn't have to deal with him tweeting about your Lakers team later in life. So, like, by drafting him. So I do feel like that's a little bit of a hit on this pick. But, you know, I'll deal with that in the future after I have five rings.
You're going to block him on Twitter? Is that what's going to
happen? I'm just going to mute him. I'm sorry, Magic.
Be prepared, because he's going to, whoever you draft the rest of this, Magic is going to support one of those guys to be your future head coach. So be prepared.
God. All right, so Jacob, you are on the clock.
All right. I assume those would be the first two picks, but this is kind of where it gets interesting.
Get ready for a reach, people.
I will take...
Asha.
No.
You can't pick someone who's on the podcast.
I will save the Ronnie Price pick for Harrison. And I will take Kareem. Seems a fairly easy pick to make. Can't really go wrong.
He's only the all-time leading scorer, you know. No big deal.
Yeah, he could score a little bit, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he had
pretty good.
He had a fairly reliable post move.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard. It was pretty good. That skyhook was really something.
Yeah, it's at least above average. And then.
Yeah.
First pick in the second round. This is tough. I will take Anthony's favorite. I'll take Jerry West.
Oh, all right then.
He's gonna be so upset with you.
He is gonna be so angry.
Hey, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to have another podcast just debating this pick, you and Anthony, where he just yells at you about Jerry West being horrible or something.
It's gonna be a three-hour show.
I'm ready to sacrifice Anthony's vote for the betterment of my team, so it's okay.
I mean, honestly, if your team doesn't have Anthony's vote, it's probably a better team, so.
Yeah, so the Vikings fan, I can attest to that.
Yeah. So, again, I'm going to use up all my time, and I'm going to select Shaquille O'Neal, who, when I was growing up, was probably my first favorite player as a kid. I mean, that became Kobe after Shaq left, and it's, like, now I think I have fonder memories of Kobe. But, like, Shaq is just, like, obviously was an unbelievable player, unbelievable Lakers career, and, like, you know, Magic and Shaq is something that I've always wanted to see, and so now at least on this podcast I can unite them.
I would say... Go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to say, for us, you know, like the younger generation that wasn't around to see, like, Kareem and, you know, some of the older players, like, Shaq is the most dominant player I've ever seen, personally. I mean, the guy would, in the playoffs, would put up consecutive 40-20 games. Like, you literally could not stop him.
And I mean, like,
foul him and then hope he missed free throws.
And, like, Kareem was a great player. I don't want to take anything away from Kareem. Him and Magic obviously had a lot of success together. But can you imagine if Kareem could catch lobs like Shaq could? Like, with Magic's passing ability? Like, Shaq just getting little duck-ins for, like, those, like, thunder dunks he loved to throw down so much? Like, there would have been a couple broken backboards and staples. Like, he would have really tested the integrity.
I just remember when somebody asked Shaq how... he would guard himself, and he just said, "I wouldn't. I would just pack up my things and go home." that was pretty accurate, man. Nobody could really guard that guy. He's just too big.
I mean, the best thing
agile.
That they could do, they just hit him. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, and the point I was going to make is similar to what Gary made. I would say, I mean, I think in his prime, I don't know that there is anybody as unstoppable as Shaq was, like including MJ, including anybody you want, because, I mean, he was just such a physical presence in the paint that, I mean, you had to foul him and pray that he missed free throws, and that was legitimately the only way to try to stop him or try to slow him down.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, Gary, you got anything for us? You got your next picks ready?
I've got one of my next picks.
Okay.
I really wanted Shaq and Kobe on the same team again, but I'm gonna take the other guy that's kind of in that same conversation as the most dominant player ever, and I'm gonna take Wilt Chamberlain. You know, just averaged a calm, cool 30 points, 23 rebounds a game for his entire career. You know. I mean, that's decent. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, again, like another player who the Lakers had, who was, you know, he was all right. So now that we have finished the second round, we have gotten together and put together a graphics department, and that graphics department is Jacob's Excel spreadsheet, and we have that right here for us so that you can take a look at our team so far after the second round. So for those of you listening on audio, thank you for subscribing on iTunes, first of all. Second of all, Gary has united Wilt Chamberlain and Kobe Bryant, which who got the ball there at least early in their career, at least early in Kobe's career, would be an interest that, like, Kobe would still probably be mad about having to pass it in. You know, young Kobe would.
To be fair, anybody that was going to be on Kobe's team, he'd probably be mad that he'd have to pass him the ball.
That's true. Shout out to Smush Parker. for my team, I have united Magic Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal, and Jacob has put together Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Jerry West. So, I mean, just six guys that, well, I guess other than Wilt, I don't think Wilt's getting a statue, but like five guys with that are going to have or do have already statues in front of Staples Center. So not a bad grouping so far. So I would say it's a pretty deep draft.
Oh, yeah, we've got plenty of talent to choose from.
Yeah. Well, speaking of choosing from talent, do you have your next pick ready?
So many good players. So many good players. All right.
He says, well,
shut up. I'll stick to kind of my generation a little bit, and I will go with Pau Gasol.
Ah!
Just because him and Kobe were, like, literally the perfect match.
Yeah.
Between, like, two star players. Like, those two puzzle pieces just fit beautifully, and the chemistry was amazing, and they both understood, like, what they needed to do and their role that they needed to bring. Like, Powell understood that he was a number two. Like, Kobe always wanted to be a one with Shaq and so on and so forth. Those two just, they just got it and they just clicked right away, and it was beautiful to watch.
Yeah, it's been rare that both personality-wise and on the court-wise, two players like that have had that much success have fit like that perfectly together. Mm-hmm. It just, like, was a symbiotic relationship. And so I would say that's a pretty good...
It's a decent big three to start with.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. Okay, so who do I want to pick now? This is where we start. It starts to get a little bit more interesting.
Quit stalling.
You know what? I am going to go with. I have a need on the wing now, and I'm going to reunite Magic with his old teammate James Worthy.
I wanted him.
Yeah. I was thinking about Big Game James. He went to North Carolina too. Like, he literally lived my childhood dream. He went, won a title with North Carolina, and then won titles with the Lakers. Like, shout out to James Worthy.
Yeah. And I mean, unfortunately, I guess this means I have to hire him for my TWC studio crew later in this Lakers team's future, but it's worth it for what he brings on the court. Definitely. Or, I mean, they don't call him Game James for no reason.
Or, as we said, you can just have Magic support him as the next Lakers head coach.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, he was, I never got to watch him as a kid, obviously, because he played the majority of his time, like, really, like, early 90s, like, in the 80s. And that's, like, you know, I was born in 91, so that was a little before my time. But going back and watching his highlights and, like, looking at the box scores and things, the performances that he was able to put up in the finals, like, he was just an unbelievable player. And, like, for the Lakers to basically have him as arguably a third option at times, like, is just, like, that's crazy how great those time teams were.
Well, it's so crazy to have the number one pick the year after they won the, or the same year that they won the title.
Like, yeah.
That's what was super crazy. They basically chose between him and Dominique. And, I mean, Dominique would have been amazing with the Showtime era, but what James Worthy brought was so vital.
Yeah, he just great, great player.
And wasn't it the Cavs who traded that pick to the Lakers?
Yeah,
I think that was part of the Stepien rule.
The Stepien rule. That is the reason for it.
Way to go, Cavs, breaking barriers.
It's great to have it's almost never a great thing to have a rule named after you. It's like, this guy was so dumb, this is why we have to have a rule now. Like,
make rules to prevent you from hurting yourself.
It was the save owners from themselves rule. You can't trade first-round picks in back-to-back years, but what if I really want to trade for an aging veteran to sell tickets?
Looking at you, Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. Like, Billy King, like, he is so mad about that rule. He just, like...
I know.
He is convinced that he would have a super team right now if not for Ted Stepien.
Okay. So.
Doing this with Billy King would be an interesting exercise as well, when he traded like his fourth, fifth, and third round picks to move up one slot in the first round. and was forced to play 3-on-5 as a result.
Well, if you got a really good 3, I guess, would be his logic.
Or I guess 2-on-5. My math is really bad. I guess 3-on-5 if he throws the coach out there to play, too.
If he drafts Byron as a coach for as long as
he...
Okay, so I am on the clock now.
Yes, you are.
Another tough pick.
Wesley Johnson's still there.
He will stay there. Can I just draft not Wesley Johnson?
That's a solid pick right there.
Gosh. Okay. I will take, with my first pick, former teammate of Jerry West, I will take Elgin Baylor.
He was who I was also considering, but I just know Worthy a little bit better. I've watched him a little bit more. But, yeah, Elgin was amazing, the scoring that he was able to do.
Yeah, and similar to a point that Gary made about Powell, West played with – or, excuse me, Elgin and West played together. And then later in their career, they played with Wilt. So there's none of that I need the ball, I have to be the number one option thing.
Yeah, I mean, back then, like, they weren't making any money. So it really, like, it was pretty much, like, it's a stereotype, but guys, I think, probably did buy into that just team mentality, rec league type thing a little bit more because there was, like, less crazy money being thrown around.
Yeah, and Elgin
much different era.
Oh, yeah.
They probably just didn't understand the economics of the game as well, and it just, like, again, it wasn't as profitable of an enterprise. And so I think that definitely has something to do with it when you're comparing these guys. Jacob, can you throw that sheet up there one more time so that I can project the rosters?
Yeah.
And so at the end of the third round, while we wait on Jacob to make the first pick of the fourth, we have Jacob with Kareem, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor. I have selected Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, and James Worthy. And Gary has Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, and Pau Gasol.
So, I see we're all three doing pretty well.
Yeah, solid, solid three-man teams right now. So, like, here's where it starts to get crazy, where somebody drafts Phil Jackson just to like throw a wrench in things.
Well, I'm not going to draft him, but...
I was
going to
say, did I just tip the pick when you laughed? No. That would have been funny.
No. I will say one other Elgin story. He is the owner of probably one of my favorite stat lines. Let me see here. This 1961-62 season, which is also the year Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double and Wilt averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds. He averaged 38.3 points, 18.6 rebounds. He only played 48 games that year because he had been drafted into the military.
Yeah.
And he could only play games on weekend leave. So he was basically dropping into the team on weekends and scoring a casual 40 points a game.
Yeah, that's
buckets.
Can you imagine if a player was doing that now?
Oh my!
Like the how crazy Twitter would go when that guy came into the stadium, like, and did literally anything. Like Twitter would have been lit back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I didn't even know that Basketball Reference had their game logs, but he had a stretch in December where he had 50 points, 45 points, 47 points, 63 points, 38 points, and then back-to-back 52-point games. So, yeah, he was absolutely getting buckets that season.
Yeah.
From what I've read, he was Kobe before Kobe.
Yeah.
Like that's what older people that I've talked to have always said. Like I know I have a friend whose dad like swears that Elgin Baylor was the greatest player of all time. And like I don't think it's really reasonable to go that far, but I mean, he was obviously like he made an impression on the people who watched him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of I know Kobe's said it before, but a lot of the players of that generation have kind of referenced Elgin Baylor.
Yeah.
Someone they idolized growing up. So yeah. Another tough spot here. Couple different ways I can go. I will go. I don't know. I'll go Jamal Wilkes.
Okay. Man, you got team your team old school. It's a good thing. No wonder Gary's dad gave you his vote.
It was a there was a couple guys I was considering, but he could I'm going with versatility with this team. And
he had one of the more interesting shot motions in NBA history. So you got a unique team.
Yeah, it'll be watchable for that reason.
If by interesting you mean ugly, then yes, it was interesting.
I was trying to be nice, okay? That's a retired Lakers legend that the Clippers have to cover up every home game that you're talking about, okay?
But yeah, putting him, I mean, obviously he has a retired number with the Lakers. And again, he spent time as kind of a second fiddle, so to speak, on some of those teams, but he still averaged...
He averaged nearly 20 a game for the Lakers, right?
Yeah, 18.4 points per game. So, yeah, he definitely was more than capable of holding his own.
Oh, yeah. All right, Harrison, see what you got.
Okay. So I have a lot of scorers right now, so I'm going to start targeting some defense, and I am going to go with Michael Cooper.
Oh my, you've got to be kidding me right now.
He was one I considered a little bit, so I mean, definitely a solid pick.
I had him like penciled in.
Yeah, he's you go back and watch like when NBA TV shows like the NBA classics, and he would just lock dudes up. Like it was.
Maybe his defense. He was the defensive player of the year one year. I think 87.
Probably one of the last wing players to win it, like other than Gary Payton.
Yeah.
But like I guess, or one of the only wing players ever. Usually it's almost always a big man. Cause you know I know Gary Payton won it before Ron Artest.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. Well deserved for Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, 1986-87 Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, so I mean, my team, we have plenty of scorers right now. We needed a little bit more defense, so I decided to go with Cooper.
I think he was a solid floor spacer. I think he was like, I was looking at it just a little bit ago. He's 34% from the 3-point line during the regular season. But then he was like 39% during the playoffs from the 3-point line.
Stepped his game up when it mattered. That's what we need.
With the old Koopa loop, man. He was always ready in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wanted him, though.
God. Well, you got the next two picks to make up for it.
You're killing me, Harrison.
I mean, I may or may not have hacked your computer and be looking at your notes. So.
Best team in the best fans in baseball. Now.
All right, well, since I have two towers, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be the first one to take a head coach. And because we saw him coach two towers in 2009-2010.
Right. Interesting.
So I'm going to take Phil Jackson to coach Wilt and Pau Gasol.
Okay. All right, way to go, Gary. Ballsy choice.
I thought you were going to take Mike Brown there when you're talking about coaching two towers.
Hey, if you draft Mike Brown, the team does get free Chick-fil-A. So, did you really make a bad pick?
That's honestly worth it. If we're
yeah.
All right, but, now I got to draft a player.
Kobe, Powell, and Wilt in the triangle. I mean, I figured that's what you're doing when you drafted those guys. But, that would be a scary, scary team.
That'd be pretty special.
Yeah, now I gotta figure out what I'm.
It's gotta be Derek Fisher now, right?
I mean, it might as well be, honestly. Like, gosh, I don't know. Really, you really threw a wrench in my plans with the old.
Yeah, didn't think I did my research, did you? Nope.
Yeah. He had that.
I was Michael waiting for you to Cooper. Yell at Chandler Parsons again.
I was up. I may or may not have stayed up till 3 a.m. last night researching this.
Well, you threw Gary off because he definitely had Phil Jackson, Michael Cooper penciled in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
That's why you got to have backup picks. You got to be ready for the war room. You got to come prepared.
Harrison, I didn't think you were smart enough to make that pick.
Shots fired.
I watched you draft the other day in both basketball and football.
So hey, the other day I was coming off of like 3 hours of class and I had stuff to rush to after. This time I'm ready, man.
Oh, my God. Who do I want? Let's see. So I've got a shooting guard and two big men. I'm just going to make you keep doing that forever.
I can throw up the current rosters while he's...
Yeah, so what do we got? We can use our graphics department real quick. Jacob,
I'm getting paid double for this, right?
Yeah, double zero. So, yeah, we got... Gary has Kobe, Wilt, Pau, and Phil Jackson. I have selected Magic, Shaq, James Worthy, and Michael Cooper for basically Showtime plus Shaq. And Jacob has the old school crew with Kareem, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Jamal Wilkes.
Hey, all the 40-year-olds who...
Hey, you have yet to select a player who has played in the 90s.
Hey, Jamal Wilkes was close, I think. Maybe. I might be
did
wrong
he make it to the 90s? I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought he was 80s.
I'm pretty sure
he played 86. This is last year.
Okay.
So. Hey, I will have...
I know things.
I will have the vote of the older generation who subscribed to this on iTunes.
Yeah.
So that's all I need.
You're just catering to a generation.
Yeah, you're just like pandering right now. You're a politician. This is awful.
All right, so, I'll just say screw it, and I'll go with the guy that played in the triangle forever and hit a number of big shots, and I'll go with Derek Fisher.
All right.
So Harrison is making Showtime plus Shaq, while Gary is making the 2009-10 Lakers plus Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, I'm basically trading Bynum for Wilt Chamberlain. Like, come on.
That's a solid trade, in my opinion. I mean, hey, it's a lot better than trading him for Dwight, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and his loaded gun at an airport.
Oh, jeez. Guy's just a genius. Okay, so this was like a little bit of a debate for me, but I'm going to have to go with, like, one of my favorite players to watch of all time, Lamar Odom here.
Oh my. I can't. We just, Gary and I, are not going to vote for you, so that's
we all know who has the best team. Like, it's just,
yeah,
like,
it's me.
I'll put it out there. But I was debating between him and Robert Horry, the man who hit the shot that made me, like, solidified, yes, I'm a basketball fan, I'm a Laker fan, just for more spacing. But Lamar was just, like, because he came off the bench, I think a lot of people don't appreciate just how special he was. Like, to be able to handle the ball and bring the ball down at 6'11 like that, and, you know, and also, like, hit threes at, like, a decent clip. Like, he obviously wasn't a world beater from that range, but, like, you know, league average. So
he seemed to hit timely threes, though. Like, he hit some really big ones.
He hit them when it mattered, which is, like Cooper, that's what I'm going for. So,
That's what I got with Fisher, just a good floor spacer that's clutch.
Yes, I'm feeling pretty satisfied with my team right now.
Which is definitely a different direction than the other day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Hey, maybe I missed on some of my all-NBA guys, but I'm not missing on, like, an all-time Lakers team. Like, that's – if I have what you can call an area of expertise, that's my area of expertise.
I just realized,
Jacob, because I'm a pro, I've had the screen projected on you for, like, the last 5 minutes. So I'm sure that's been great. That's been a great viewing experience. I apologize to our massive audience right now.
You get a hell of a look at my
We got to showcase the guests, so
– give me the last pick, but you give me 10 minutes of spotlight, so I guess it's
yeah. Give you airtime, man.
Hey, no, you got two. You got two more picks.
Yeah, you both still need a head coach.
Yeah, we both still need a coach.
There's a couple ways I can go with this. somebody just asked me, how is Lynn, Wes Johnson, Dwight, Smush, and Kwame still all undrafted? I think they'll stay undrafted.
Yeah. You're not going to go with Kwame?
No Kwame. I got my big man.
Also, shout out to my little brother making a cameo appearance to grab the dog out of this room. So, well, you're welcome, ladies. He just walked in here in his boxers. Really appreciate that.
I will go with someone you mentioned. I was considering him. I'll go with Robert Horry.
Man, you're stealing my picks. I was gonna have him coach the team.
Okay, we can pick. You want to give me Lamar Odom? I'll give you Robert Horry.
No.
And then for my coach, I mean, it's probably a no-brainer. It has to be pretty much Pat Riley.
Yeah. The coaching thing really has a little bit of a drop-off after 1 and 2.
Yeah, I long considered Mike D'Antoni, not really, and ended up taking Pat Riley. I mean, he coached Showtime. He obviously probably the second most decorated Laker coach. That part was an easy choice, so I had to go with an old-time coach for my old-time team. And I got somebody who played in the 90s and the 2000s, so take that.
There you go.
So my theory on coaching has always been that, like, they kind of need to just not get in the way. And so the ultimate I'm not going to get in the way coach that I'm actually going to select for this loaded team is Bernie Bickerstaff.
Oh, wow. That is...
Bernie.
Interesting.
Hey, the Lakers were undefeated while he was interim coach, so he has the Lakers franchise record for best coaching winning percentage. I can't believe he wasn't off the board already.
Sample size out the window on this one?
No, I'm pretty sure he went undefeated.
I thought they lost the game to San Antonio.
You gotta look it up, but I'm pretty sure he went undefeated, and like he was the one that had the famous quote of like, "I'm just gonna roll the ball out there and let these guys play," or something along those lines.
Bernie Bickerstaff like was 4-1 in 5 games.
Okay, so hey, that's an 80% winning percentage.
Yeah, well, that's also you spent 3 hours researching, and I don't know what you were researching, but you didn't even get the coach's record right, so.
I wasn't researching coaches. I didn't even know we were selecting those, but
it's a good excuse.
But hey, I feel pretty satisfied with my coach. I mean, like I could have picked Byron, but like if you want to go see how like all the things kind of wrong with Byron Scott as a coach, go check HP Basketball's timeline after you get done watching this podcast from tonight, because he like pretty much just ethered Byron Scott. So during this show, so we appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, I could have done it just to see like, is there a team that Byron Scott can win a title with? Like, it would be this team that I drafted. But I'm going to instead go ahead and go with Bernie. It's gonna be weekend at Bernie's all season.
Well, Gary's up, and it looks like he has a hole in his lineup for a Wes Johnson there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Should I just go ahead and write this in, Wesley Johnson?
There's like a Wesley Johnson that played in the 1950s that was really good.
Nothing is funnier than you, after watching you on Twitter all of last year, trying to sell somebody on Wesley Johnson.
Hey, he can occasionally jump really high and bank in a three or something, so that's got to be at least like a late second round pick, right?
Hey, I mean, a lot of teams have talked themselves into Wesley Johnson developing into, something. I guess Doc's the latest guy, so, you know, maybe.
Trevor Ariza, man.
Yeah, Gary, you could give it a shot. You could go with Wes Johnson or Trevor Ariza. I feel like the pick is fairly obvious. You could take Bynum. He likes to space the floor. I can't really speak to his ability, but
you need a 3-and-D guy.
He's 0 for 1 3-pointers in his career, but
you need a 3-and-D guy, and that definitely describes Andrew Bynum's game.
Yeah. Or a 3-and-3 and drive off with a gas pump still stuck in your car. That's what the D stands for.
Okay, we got... There's a totally new meaning to 3-and-D now, I guess.
Yeah.
Only applies to Andrew Bynum.
You have to have been kicked out of a... You have to have been benched from a game for shooting a 3 and also driven off from somewhere with a gas pump still attached to your car. So I think Andrew Bynum just became the greatest 3-and-D guy in NBA history. Stats don't lie.
I was at that game, the Grizzlies game, where he hit the 3 like at the buzzer, where the game was over, like so it didn't matter. And I remember my dad telling me, "Oh, great! Now he's gonna start shooting those on a regular basis."
It was something about Mike Brown just made him really want to shoot threes, because then he got thrown out of that Cavs practice later for like he was apparently just launching from wherever he caught the ball. Like, I don't know what is going on between those two, but like, chances are, if Mike Brown ever gets another job, Andrew Bynum isn't gonna end up on that team.
It would have made it much better at that practice. Every time he hoisted a 3, he just yelled, "Kobe!" and just shot it up.
How do we know he wasn't? We don't have videotape.
Yeah, I'd imagine some inside sources on this.
Yeah.
That just really angered.
All right.
Oh, well, I was going to say LeBron, but I don't think LeBron was there at that time.
I think if Biden was still there, LeBron would not have gone back to Cleveland.
They heard something that they had a chance, and they just cut him immediately.
Wait, LeBron's actually calling? Quick, we got to get rid of Bynum.
Yeah. Oh, man, this turned into an Ether Andrew Bynum and Byron Scott cast real fast just by Gary not being able to make a pick.
You guys just keep blabbing on and on. So
hey, man, I don't know. You can listen to us or you can prepare. I know what a real GM would do.
Oh. I've had my pick.
Oh, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah, I've been ready.
Okay, go ahead.
I just don't want to shut up. I mean, this must be something about being the host that you just never want to shut up.
It's true. That's why Anthony always hosts.
All right. So I was thinking about adding to my 2009 Lakers plus Wilt thing with Ariza, but I'll mix it up a little bit. And at small forward, I'm going to go with Rick Fox.
Ooh, suave.
Hey, your team is going to be very happy. Rick Fox is like probably the ultimate wingman in NBA history. So like, you know, if you're factoring in playing the wing and other things.
Yeah, I was like on and off the court.
Yeah.
No, but Rick Fox, I mean, he was a solid 3-point shooter, hit some big shots, good defender. That's all I need. You know, I got my three stars with Kobe, Wilt, and Powell.
All right, so
role players.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Rick Fox was like a great player. Actually, on Zach Lowe and Howard Beck's podcast last week, I don't know if you guys listened to it, but, you know, Beck really came away from covering those Laker teams with a very, very high opinion of Rick Fox, which, like, you know, a beat writer's opinion obviously isn't everything, but those guys definitely get a pulse for the team and who's well-liked and who's not, and it sounded like Rick Fox was, like, a great, not only, like, a very important contributor on the court that knew his role, but, like, a great, great locker room chemistry guy, which is, like, something you need on a loaded team like these.
Yeah,
I was going to mention that same thing, and another thing that they mentioned kind of more toward his team-first mentality is that they said he turned down millions and millions of dollars to take the mid-level exception with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Not once, but twice before the Lakers
getting his guaranteed deal.
Yeah, before the Lakers got his early bird rights.
He did the thing that fans are always wanting players to do, where it's like, oh, why won't LeBron just come take the minimum for my team, and then like, and then they can pay him later when they have his bird rights.
I know. They're so selfish. They're leaving millions of dollars on the table. Like,
yeah. But yeah. So I guess that concludes the draft. Jacob, you want to throw the rosters up there one more time, and we can read everybody's off, and then try and debate who has the best team real quick.
All right.
Okay, so Jacob has the rosters up there for us, and so Team Gary Nation is Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, Pau Gasol, Derek Fisher, and Rick Fox on the court. So kind of a combo of the Lakers 09-010 team with like a little bit of three-peat and Wilt thrown in. So, yeah, I mean, that's not a bad squad by any means. And then, you know, the best team is mine with Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, James Worthy, Michael Cooper, Lamar Odom, and Bernie Bickerstaff coaching. And we round things up
one
with
one of them does not belong.
Hey, how dare you disparage Shaq? Okay, Jacob. Jeez, like I know he demanded a trade later, but like still a great Laker.
Hey, and then he doesn't know what it means to be a Laker if he's demanding a trade.
We have that was a work beef. We have Jacob with Team Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he's got Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Jamal Wilkes, Robert Horry, and then he's got Pat Riley coaching them. So that would be a pretty fun up-and-down team that could really score the ball.
That was the strategy I was going for.
Although, yeah, I mean, you definitely have a big team. Like, that's for sure.
I thought... about trying to play Jamal Wilkes at power forward and drafting a point guard, but Jamal Wilkes is all of 6'6", so I figured it'd probably be a little better to put Jerry West at point guard and then get a power forward, especially after I really considered Ronnie Price, but I turned it down.
His defensive toughness would have really added to your team.
Yeah, I think him and Pat Riley would have meshed real well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay,
there's so many good players we left off the board, too, when you think about it. Like,
yeah, it's
yeah,
it's
like Gil Goodrich was probably Goodrich, the, like, one of the...
A reason to take a cut.
Nick Van Exel, Norm Nixon.
Jacob, you want to throw the roster up there one more time, and then let's each of us make the case for our team.
All right.
That sounded good.
I really want to hear Harrison make the case for Bernie Bickerstaff, but...
Bernie Bickerstaff made the case for Bernie Bickerstaff, okay?
Yeah, his 5-game record, yeah.
Count the numbers.
Is that when you just go up with the Kobe vine of you counting to 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, which represents how many games he coached.
Hey, biggest mistake Jim Buss ever made, replacing Bernie Bickerstaff. He had the locker room.
Hey,
I guess they'd
have won like 70 games that year.
Since we're already talking my team, you know, Magic and Cooper as a backcourt, I think, has been shown to be pretty solid just by their, you know, on-court success in real life. And then same thing for Worthy with those two. Shaq, I don't think, would have been a giant step down from Kareem. Prime Lakers Shaq, definitely not. Although I would almost argue prime Lakers Shaq might be better than Lakers Kareem, but some people might disagree.
Yeah, it's... honestly, like, it's 1A, 1B.
Yeah. You really can't go wrong.
It's just hard because they played in such different eras, but...
Exactly. And then Lamar is, like, great locker room guy, like, great underrated player that can also do some ball handling team. I think that team would really be able to get out and run. Like, with the exception of Shaq, who, like, running was his, like, NBA nemesis at that point in his career. But I think it would be, to a similar degree, what we've talked about Hibbert doing for the Lakers this year, where he can, like, his rebounds can really ignite the break. I feel like I have 4 guys that can really get out and run, and Bernie Bickerstaff's just going to, like, he's going to let them play playground ball and just really get out there and just make stuff happen, okay?
So Magic Johnson's coaching that team.
I mean, pretty much. How much offensive coaching do you really need with Magic Johnson?
You better hope not much.
I mean, I feel like my team's roster kind of makes the case for itself. But so let's go ahead and let's Gary Nation, what you got for us?
All right, so. You know, my starting point guard and my starting small forward, both guys that can space the floor, can hit big shots, good locker room guys, good leaders. You know, you try and, like, get the 5 most talented players sometimes, but, you know, you need some role players. You know, you got to have guys that have a particular job on the team, and you can't have 5 alphas. You know, that's just that's a disaster waiting to happen sometimes. And then I've got the Twin Towers with Wilt and Powell. You know, Powell can step out and kind of work that mid-range area around the elbow. And his passing ability with Wilt down low, I mean, that duo would be so much fun, watching him, of course. So, I mean, you know, you're going to get the most out of your Twin Towers down low. And then I have arguably the greatest Laker ever in Kobe Bryant. You know, top 10 player of all time, depending on who you ask. So offensively, you know, he's got the full repertoire, and I just think all the pieces fit together really well.
Okay, and then Jacob, go ahead and make the case for your team.
Well, first, I have Kareem, who my strategy against your guys' team is to just hack your center while Kareem can actually make free throws.
That's a good point, actually.
And then After Kareem, I kind of wanted to surround him with maybe not Showtime, but something similar to what he had during the Showtime era. A lot of players that can get out and versatility, basically. So those was my next three picks with Wes, Baylor, and Wilkes. Wes, all three of them, really. They understand kind of what Gary said about the alpha male aspect. There wouldn't be any butting heads or anything like that. And then you have Ori, who can space the floor. Obviously has the big shot reputation. And with Kareem being able to hit that sky hook, you have pretty ideal spacing. And then the lane will never kind of be clogged or anything like that. And then you throw in Pat Riley, who, you know, just led the Showtime Lakers during the 80s and put together one of the best offenses ever, if not the best. And then kind of a hard-nosed coach anyway. Kind of help.
Yeah, you got the right coach for your team. That I think we can definitely agree on that.
Yeah, we can definitely agree you got the wrong coach for your team as well.
I disagree with that. I disagree.
Majority rules. So
4-1, 80%.
I'm pretty happy with my team, even if it means that Anthony won't support me. I can handle that.
Okay, so we are now that we've made the now that we've each made the case for our teams. I mean, do we want to vote? I guess between the three of us, or do you want to just leave it up to the viewers?
We can do both.
All right. Well, I think that we should leave it up to the viewers regardless. Jacob, you could probably take that down now.
All right.
And so I guess if you had to pick a team that was not yours, who would you pick?
Who starts? All right, I'll go first. God, this as much as this pains me to say, but I'll take Harrison's team just because you just got so much firepower on that team. Magic's just going to distribute the ball all over. Shaq, you know, if you get out and run and nothing comes of it, you just dump it down to Shaq and he's going to get you 2 points. You got Worthy, Cooper, Odom that can all run out on the break with Magic running the show. I mean, that's just unbelievable. So, I'll take Harrison's team.
Even with Bernie Bickerstaff, wow.
Bernie Bickerstaff, I'm telling you, does not hurt. Yeah, exactly. Like, look at that roster. Bernie Bickerstaff has the exact right attitude for that roster of, like, I'm going to let you guys just go be great. He's empowering them to reach their potential, Jacob, and you just can't see that because you're a hater.
You've really talked yourself into this Bernie Bickerstaff pick. I'm impressed.
I did it in the preparation once I found out that we were going to have to pick a coach.
That was the first thought that went into his head, Bernie.
It was.
He's not Byron Scott, so I guess I can give you that much.
I think he has that on his resume under skills.
Similar to how every small forward in the NBA should have not Wesley Johnson as their skills.
So, not to be the, or actually, you know what? I'll let Jacob. I'll let you go first.
Oh wow! Not making me go last for once.
You're a guest. I have nothing but appreciation for you, and I'm just gonna showcase you just like Bernie would, and just put you in a position to succeed.
Okay. Obviously both great teams. I have to go with Gary's. It just seems so. The players just make so much sense for their positions, especially in the triangle. Obviously, Kobe and Fisher and Fox and Powell all played in it, and we know what they can do. Then you're basically just subbing out, you know, Bynum or Shaq for Wilt Chamberlain, which is, at worst, an equal for Shaq, but obvious improvement over Bynum. That's just such a well-balanced team. And with Phil at the helm, that'd be a real strong team.
Can I just say my point guard is Magic Johnson and his is Derek Fisher?
Hey, I didn't bring up that he probably isn't going to stop many people, but he'll score a lot of points.
My okay. point guard only needs 0.4 seconds to get a shot off. So.
That's fair. and then only another 0.2 to make it to the locker room. Okay, so I mean, I am giving myself the loss by doing this, but I have to go with. I'm sorry, I got to go with Gary's team.
Not respecting your elders.
I think he kind of made the case for it himself, but like, Jacob, you want to throw the roster up there one more time?
Yeah.
You're voting for a team you don't even know the roster of?
I remembered liking yours more.
And sure, I'll go ahead and help you as you diss my team.
So, obviously Kobe is amazing, and, like Jacob said, pretty much all the points that Jacob made, I don't know that I really have anything that fresh to add to it, but Wilt and Powell would definitely be really interesting to watch together. And Derek Fisher and Rick Fox, I guess, are pretty good role players, although I still think my team would, crush you guys. But, that's just my opinion, and everybody's entitled to that. And I guess we got to leave it up to the viewers to decide. And we're going to put a little poll at the bottom of this, and you can vote for who you thought had the best team. For those of you listening to, on iTunes, that will be on LakersOutsiders.com, the link to the video cast of this episode. And I think that about wraps it up for us. We've been going for like over an hour now. We should probably shut up at this point, right, guys?
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't give any puns, so I'm sure our viewers are
happier. Exactly. They gotta be thrilled right now. They're like, this is a whole new Lakers Outsiders. Okay, so on behalf of the entire team, I got to say thank you, Jacob, for coming on, even though you lost. But thanks for playing. And
well, hey, I didn't make the worst pick of the night, so I got that.
It wasn't 37-0. So, And Gary, as always, it's been great to have you on, kind of.
Vote Gary Nation.
All right, so that'll do it for us. I am Harrison Fagan signing off for the Lakers Outsiders. Thanks, everybody that tuned in.